And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the way that we communicate about him, this sounds to me as if it's really echoing. I don't know whether it is to you. I can hear it. Is it? Obviously not, because nobody's nodding. As long, can you hear me okay? Yeah. That's all right then. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the way that we communicate about him has to change. The methods that we use to communicate about him has to change. If they don't, we can't stay open and do business at church as normal. Can people today get excited about rebuilding the walls of the past? Because if we're so excited about rebuilding the walls of the past, most of the people that we want to speak to are actually outside of those walls and they're not coming in. At the moment, we're in this series called Open to God Through Serving and looking at the book of Nehemiah. And a couple of weeks ago, Keith started this series off and he gave us a really great introduction to the whole of the book of Nehemiah. It's a real treaty on leadership. Everything that you ever wanted to know about being a successful leader, you can find if you study the book of Nehemiah. And Keith used this phrase. He said that Nehemiah was a leader who courageously pursued the vision that God had given him. He pursued his calling courageously, and he did. Nehemiah had this ability to cast vision. He could see what needed to be done, but it wasn't only that he could see enough what needed to be done. He had the bottle, he had the gravitas, and he had the way in which he could communicate to a group of people that this is something that you can be open to God through serving to restore this situation, the walls of Jerusalem. And he talked about how he had the ability to cast vision that actually pulled people towards it rather than pushed them. And there's a huge difference as leadership when you're trying to push people towards a vision or you're pulling them towards a vision. A massive difference. Then a couple of weeks ago, Paul picked up that same theme and he talked about that Nehemiah had this private and public mask. He'd got these two masks. And he talked about that period in his life where he stopped. He'd gone out and he'd checked what was going on around the place. And he stopped. And he put a strategy together. And he talked about how courageous leaders cast vision around a strategy. What I want today, I've got one single thought that I want to communicate to you, and it's this. If you want to put that next slide up for us, please. If we keep doing church like we've always done, is it going to be effective tomorrow? If we keep doing church like we've always done, we'll always get what we've always had. And the question is, can we keep doing business as usual? Yeah, you have to be honest, the world's changing so fast. In the middle of a TV program, you have an advert break. And in that advert break now, you can see how culture is changing drastically. Let me just give you a couple of examples. You might see the new advert from PayPal. And it says, there's new money in town. Has anybody seen that advert? Yeah? There's new money in town. And it's saying that, actually, we don't need cash anymore. We don't need our wallets. Because there's new money in town. Culture is changing that you probably, some of you now, it just is normal. You get your credit card out, you put it onto a machine, and it swipes your card, and you pay. Don't think anything about it now. It's just normal. The next advert comes up, and it's Yopa. Where do they get these names from? I get the names from. You can sell your house now online for about £750. And you see all these high street estate agent signs all crying. And then at the end of the advert, they burn them all. culture's changing. The next advert comes up, you want to buy a new car? You now don't go to a dealership. You choose the car you want, you pick the colour, you pick everything that you wanted, you put it into this website, and they come to you and tell you the best price that you can get it for. You've got an old car now, you can put a website in that says, mycarneedsa.com, needs a new radiator, and people come to the website and tell you what they're going to charge to do it for. That's just in the space of 3 minutes on an advert. Now, let's do a truth thingy. You can't lie in church, okay? Because there is an extra bit of, like, sin if you lie in church, all right? You can lie outside and that's bad, but you lie inside, oof, lightning will come down. Who has updated their Facebook profile in church? Well, that's, who's got a Facebook profile? Perhaps we ought to ask that question. Yeah, you see, not too many people. That's actually very interesting. That's very interesting. Who's texted in church? Ah, yeah, there you go. That's getting a bit more. Who sent an email in church? Hey, you see, now we're getting a few more hands. Because you can't lie, can you? You can't lie in church. You know, robots now are ready to drive cars for us. You know, you can buy cars now that will drive themselves. They'll keep the safe distance ahead of the car in front of them. And they'll put the brakes on in the car at the time that you need to put them on, knowing the distance of the cars in front of them. Do you know that I can, and you can do the same, I can order something from Amazon now and they'll deliver it this afternoon to our house. They do same-day delivery in Bromsgrove. Do you know, if it wasn't for certain civil aviation regulations, Amazon would deliver your parcel by drone to your house now. They can do that. And for the most part, we do church like we did 60 years ago. We have a hymn book, and instead of it being in our hands, it's up on a screen. We have 25 to 40 minutes of somebody speaking to us when the attention span of most people these days is about 9 seconds. And actually, they say that a goldfish has an attention span of 10 seconds. And we wonder sometimes, why aren't we communicating the gospel to people who need to hear it? If we keep doing what we've always done in church, is it going to be as effective tomorrow? The truth is, we like it. We like the way it is. It's nice for us. We feel comfortable with it. It's like an old pair of slippers. It just feels comfortable. It doesn't seem weird to us to talk about eating a body and drinking blood. It's all right. But if you've never heard about that before, and somebody comes in and says, we're all going to sit down there and eat a bit of flesh and a bit of blood. What the flipping heck? But people who are going to come in, and this is the question, are they going to come in? Don't understand all that. And yet we think that we can communicate in the way that we've communicated for all these years and expect things to be different. You know, they say the definition of insanity is to keep doing what you've always done but expect a different result. If you keep doing what you've always done and you expect a different result, that is insanity. Some of you may know that Noreen and I started New Song Community Church back in 1997. And our vision in those days was very clear. We wanted to have a church that was for unchurched people.
You might say, well, isn't every church like that? Well, the answer to that question is no. Lots of churches are quite happy just the way that they are. They don't really want anybody else to come in because it's nice as it is. And what I did, I actually did 1,000 surveys. I knocked on 1,000 doors in Bromsgrove and asked 1,000 people 3 questions. Why don't you go to church? If you did go to church, what would you want that church to be like? And what's missing from Bromsgrove? And I asked 1,000 people, wrote down 1,000 surveys. And do you know what the result of that was? That church was boring, it was out of date, it was irrelevant, and they had got no idea what was needed in Bromsgrove. And hundreds of people told me that. So we developed a church that was to fit that particular time. We used to have Saturday night and Sunday morning. Saturday night was for the already convinced. And Saturday night was the place where you came to be fed. That was where we did Bible studies and we had quite in-depth sermons and we would do communion and we would do worship and prayer. And then Sunday morning was completely and utterly focused on those who were unchurched. We used to even think about starting the journey for them when they turned onto Broad Street, before they even got to the church. What can we do to make the whole process for somebody who's never been to church before to be as easy as possible to come inside that building? Because it's a pretty scary thing to walk through the doors of a church. You see, we forget that. We've done it that many times and it seems normal to us. But for somebody who's never been to church, to walk through the doors of a church is actually a very scary thing to do. What goes on behind those doors? So we tried to think about that from very beginning right to the very end. How can we make church relevant for people who don't normally go to church? Every Sunday morning we would do drama and we would use video and we would do all sorts of things. But our whole focus, the whole strategy from beginning to end was this person who's coming through the door never has been to church before. How can we communicate a timeless message that hasn't changed for centuries and will never change? It's always going to be the same. But how can we communicate it to this particular generation? And it's worked. It worked. But that was 20 years ago. And it wouldn't work today. It wouldn't work today. Here's an important fact. The mission never changes, but the model has to change. The mission never changes, but the model has to change. That kind of strategy was what we would call attractional. It was, let's create some programs, let's create some projects, and let's get people to come in to those projects and be a part of them. Now, in order for that to work, you need a couple of things. One is you need somewhere for them to come to. But secondly, you need lots and lots of people who will be willing to serve in order to maintain those programs. And shall I tell you something? It's like a beast. It's like a beast. For when you're here and when you're standing at the front and you're a minister or you're in a ministry, you just look at the excitement on people's faces when you say, we need some volunteers. And it's like, oh joy, here's another opportunity for me to be open to God through serving. See, look, you're just so excited about that, aren't you? And you know, sometimes it can be every Sunday. And you go, oh, not again. I want somebody else. And I look back now. Has anybody drunk out of this yet? No? Because if it was Dave, I'm going to stop it. I'm not drinking. Drinking anything Dave's touched. I look back now and I think we got some things really right. We got some things by the grace of God, to be honest. It wasn't anything else. It was by the grace of God we got some things right. But boy, did I make a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. Because I encouraged and I challenged and I rebuked and I pressured people into serving God, being open to God through serving. Was it good for them? Yes, it was. But was it the right way to do it? No. No, not at all. And I realized that after a period of time, attractional church burns out the volunteers, but apart from that, it burned out me. It burns out the leaders of a church. If we keep doing what we've always done, is it going to be as effective as it was yesterday? So you have to ask what's relevant for today. You have to look at the world around you. And if you were in a missions context, if you were in a missions field and you were going to some distant land, the first thing that anybody in missions does is what? Does anybody want to tell me? Well, they pray, but before that, or after that and during that, you study culture. You study culture. You study the environment that you're in. Because you want to communicate to the people that you're with. And the world's changed. The working patterns of some of you have changed forever. You used to go to work at 9 o'clock and finish at 5, and that was it, Monday to Friday. Now, with the advent of smartphones, you're at work all the time. Somebody can get hold of you all the time. People don't work a work pattern that they used to work. People work different hours and different days, and every day is a work day. And we have to look at the culture and we have to look and say, how are people communicating there? Maybe we ought to be updating Facebook all the time during the service. Maybe instead of passing a little velvet bag round, we ought to put the bank details on there so you can just ping it with your Apple Pay. Did you like that one, David? Yeah. And I tell you what, probably the offerings would go up. Because it's easy to do. And you're used to it. That's the world that we live in. When you want to watch a television program now, when do you watch it? When you want to watch it, you do it on catch up. That's just the world that we live in. Why can't we perhaps do church that way? Could we do church on catch up? It'd be good to fast forward through the notices, wouldn't it? So, when we get to chapter 3 of Nehemiah, it's a very, very interesting chapter. And I'm not going to read the chapter to you, because if you want to find that chapter, you can go on the internet and you can find it. And you can find probably far better sermons than I could preach on the internet connected to that passage. But the whole chapter, verse by verse, is a series of us telling us about people who are open to God through serving. And it says, this guy built the wall from this section to this section. And then it goes, the next section was built by this guy. And he put the doors in and he put the bolts in. And then we went to the next section. And so it goes on, verse after verse, for 32 verses. One of the things that I think I admire in this chapter is a guy whose name was Malkijah. Because he had to rebuild the dung gate. And you know, there's always somebody who has to have that job, isn't there? But he was willing to do that. He built the dung gate. And when we get to verse 8 in that chapter, we read something really interesting about a couple of people. We read that one of them was a goldsmith, and another one of them was a perfume maker. Now, I think the guy who built the dung gate ought to have been the perfume maker. Don't you think that would have been a useful connection between the two? But what we see was in this chapter, if I could sum up this chapter in one word, it's adaptation. Adaptation. Here was two people who had completely different skills. They were goldsmiths and they were perfume makers, but they were willing to adapt their skills and they were willing to be open to God through serving, to use their skills to rebuild the wall that the vision had been cast by the leader. And that's what we need to do as churches. We need to adapt. We need to adapt. If we don't adapt, what's going to happen at some point in the future? One person is going to be here turning the lights off for the very last time. And it might not be in this generation. And we've been around for, 350 years. But the world is a very, very different place. The message is never going to change. The mission is never going to change. But unless we adapt and unless we think about how are we going to reach the culture that we are responsible for, which is our culture, and not only that, lay the foundations for the cultures that are going to come to follow, we have to ask the question, if we keep doing what we've always done, is church going to stay the same? The models of church that we used 20 years ago were effective 20 years ago. They were effective in the 90s and they were effective in the early 2000s. The culture today is not a culture where people see, sadly, the church is a place to go for answers. People don't look at a church and think, you know, I could find the answers for life inside a church. Where do they look for the answers for life? Google. And if they Google that, what are they going to find? And that's our responsibility. We need to put something in there that they're going to actually find that helps communicate the message about today. If you want to put that next slide up for us, please. A pastor in a church in North Carolina wrote a book, and it was called, it's a recent book, Gaining by Losing. And he says this, if we want to reach this generation, the next generation, we have to equip the people who are in church to reach people who will never come in to church. And he says this, we must focus on the mission very tightly. And that mission is that Jesus loves every single one of us and he died to save us. And he wants everybody to be a part of that relationship with him. That is never ever going to change. But we have to hold very lightly the models of how we communicate that message. The mission is what Jesus has called us to do. The vision is why we do what Jesus has called us to do. And most importantly, the strategy is how we're going to do it. Pop the last slide up for us if you will do. I think the day is here that business is not open for usual as a church. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that for timeless, for all history and for all eternity, that timeless truth that Jesus loves me, this I know, is never going to change. From generation to generation, you have freely loved us, and you will continue to do so. But even as we look through the pages of Scripture, how that message is communicated to the world who do not know you has changed so many times. I pray, Father, for the leaders of this church that you will give them courage and you will give them insight and you will give them wisdom to capture your vision for this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Dad.